who've been coming to the church for a while. Elizabeth Neal passed away yesterday, and I believe the funeral will be towards the end of the week so that her family that is from out of the country will be able to return. So if there's anyone wanting information on that, just call the church office later on in the week, and we'll be able to tell you on that. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, I just come to you right now, and there's a lot of heavy and burdened hearts, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with these people, Lord. I pray that you would be with Rose and Nella, God, as they are dealing with the aspect of cancer in their life. And Father, I just pray that you would just give them the strength and give them the courage to face each new day and to face what this means for them in their lives. And Lord, I just pray for their families as well, that you would give them wisdom and courage, Father, to walk through this with them, Father. And I just pray that you would be with them, God, and that you would just let them feel your presence at this time. And Father, I pray for Frank as he's recovering from ear surgery, and I just pray that you would bless him, God, and just put your hand of healing upon his ear, Lord, and just bring him through this, and just help him to know that you're there with him, Father. And I pray for George and for Inga and for Ken. And Lord, also too, specifically for Sam, Muriel Luther's brother, Lord, that was in an industrial accident this week and things aren't looking good. I just pray, Father, that your hand of healing would be upon him, God, and that you would be with Muriel and Emma as they are there with him right now. And Father, I just pray that you would bless that family, Lord, and that your will would be done. And God, I just pray that you would bless their time together, God. And if it is time to say goodbye, that you would give Muriel and Emma strength to do that. And Father, I just pray for that situation. And Lord, I pray for Lori and for Gladys as well, that you would be with them. You know what's going on in their lives, Lord. And Father, for those that can't be with us, for Vince and for Herman and Peter, I just pray that you would be with them this morning too, that they would feel your presence, God. And Lord, for each request that we have here in the congregation today that hasn't been spoken, Lord, you know who's hurting and you know who's lonely and you know who just needs a touch from you, Lord. And I just pray that you would bring that this morning. And I just ask this in your name. Amen. And now I would like to introduce to you Dr. Bob Clary, who will be bringing the message this morning.
Well, as Pastor Christine said, Bob Clary is my name, and I'm in my 11th year at NBI. It's not that I'm a slow learner, it's that I have the privilege of teaching, and it is good to be with you this morning. Undivided, our team is finishing up their 13th day of tour. I have been with them but 3 days. They likely couldn't have put up with me for longer. But Wes Fair, our president, his mom was 75 yesterday. So I joined the team in Saskatoon, and Wes went on to celebrate that birthday, and I have a chance to finish up tour because we're headed back to campus today. So thank you for the privilege it is for me to direct your thoughts to God's word this morning. And I share with you this. At the Bible College, they pay me the big bucks to teach canoeing and kayaking and rock climbing and cross-country skiing and winter camping, and I know you are thinking, what a martyr. That's me. I suffer for Jesus, and my motto is, someone's got to do it. God has blessed me big time. My wife and my 3 children and I have enjoyed the privilege of being there at the college. But in my teaching of those courses, I have an opportunity to make use of this piece of equipment, and I've brought a visual aid. Who here could identify what this piece of equipment is? Raise your hands. Oh, several. Okay. I'm going to ask a couple. What is it, someone? A yoke. And what piece of equipment might this yoke be attached to? A canoe, indeed. And therefore, then, what is the purpose of this piece of equipment? No, to have your partner carry your canoe. See, but of course, you don't want to be too terribly cruel to your partner, and therefore, you want to give him a yoke that fits. A yoke that fits. Because indeed, the design of the yoke is to enable you to hoist that canoe overhead and transport it from point A to point B. Well, I've had the privilege of paddling in the Churchill River system, and there are some long portages. I think the longest that I've done is about a mile and a half. And I know I put a canoe on my shoulders and went at least half of the distance in one shot. That was many years ago. But for you folks, you may not realize the longest portage in the north is 13 miles out of Peter Pond Lake. In order to continue in the Churchill River system, there's a 13-mile portage. That, I am for sure convinced, I'm well beyond. But if you were to look at the scripture talks about yoke in several instances, and metaphorically, most often, about the oppression, the foreign oppression of Israel, the yoke that God put on them as a nation in order to press them down. Now, I could recount canoe stories, and that's not the direction I want to go this morning. Let me share one. Two of my friends are transporting canoes. One has a canoe on his shoulders, and he comes across a canoe that's lying in the middle of the trail. And he knows Rick has gone on ahead of him, so he calls, "Rick!" And a muffled sound from underneath the canoe, "What?" "Where are you?" "Under here!" And he had gone into Muskeg to hear and hold, okay, I don't like the view. But anyway, that was just a bit of a rabbit trail. I've got to get back here. But the yoke, indeed, for Israel was one picture. And the visual aid that I brought here, indeed, as you think of a yoke, you would find in Leviticus that it talks about that God said, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt." And then it goes on to say, "I broke the bars of the yoke." And he blessed. Well, I share with you as well that the New Testament talks about yoke as well. And the passage that I would like to look at, if you have your scriptures, and it's quite brief, turn in Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. And I say that it's unique to Matthew because the other Gospels don't allude to it. And I share with you, there's at least two sermons in this passage. I'll only try to do one this morning. But when we consider what's written there on the page, you would find, if you looked at the scripture and discerned where Jesus talked about himself, you would find, of course, the classic in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But this is another, where he identifies himself as gentle and meek. And I want to read this scripture, and I hope to bring a little more insight into what's written here. So let's read it as we take up the scriptures. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I'm not sure how many of you find yourselves weary. I think we've heard from Pastor Devin and Joan, jet lag, they're weary physically. And God, in that first part of that passage, suggests He will provide physical comfort and rest. Now, I'm not sure about you folks, and certainly those that are of German descent will have to forgive me, but a tradition at Bible College was a Metterschlupf Sunday afternoon. And that may be your, and for those of you that don't know, that's a wee afternoon nap. That's the spiritual thing to do Sunday afternoon. So, the Metterschlupf. Well, again, God provides blessing and rest. But the scripture says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, there's a spiritual provision that's very clear, and Jesus is the one who provides it. Because, you see, Jesus' yoke of discipleship is much different than the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees had all kinds of rules. The Sabbath rules were very specific. You could only walk so far and not break the Sabbath. I believe it was 70 leagues. Now, scholars out there could correct me, but I think that was the case. And you can almost imagine that they would want to put a beeper on everyone walking around, and when you walk 70.1 leagues, the beeper goes off and unspiritual, he's not obeying the Sabbath. Jesus' take on the Sabbath was intended for the people, and the rest was the important thing. Jesus was confronted on the issue of divorce, and instead of really haggling the two perspectives, the two different schools, the Hillel Shammai school of, you know, what was the reason for divorce? One said, burn the toast, she's gone. And the other said, you know, there's got to be a little more reason to it. Well, Jesus didn't want to go there. He said, love the wife God's given to becoming one flesh. That's the ideal. Cherish the one God's given you. Now, I want to key in on the last part of that passage. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Christian life is a life not of rules, but a life of relationship. One obeys, serves, loves, knows, cherishes our Savior, not because we must, but because we're compelled to, if we really comprehend what He's done for us. At face value, Jesus' burden is light. The Pharisees' burdens were heavy. And later in Matthew, when Jesus chastises them, He says they put heavy burdens on and do not help. Now, I've never been in a canoe that had a tandem yoke that big. But if we could envision the yoke God gives us, Jesus gives us, it's a double yoke. We're on one side, and Jesus is on the other. Now, let me ask, are there carpenters here? Someone by trade is a carpenter. No carpenters, really. Oh, there's one, and now here's where I'm remodeling my house, and then I say, any would claim to have used a hammer? There may be a few more, and boy, I tell you what, I'm a dangerous man with a hammer. But as a carpenter, we know Jesus was the carpenter's son. Now, consider for a moment. What would carpenters build in Jesus' day? Now we've got framers and finished carpenters, etc., etc., etc. But what about Jesus' day? The suggestion is the carpenters of the day built those things that the average person could not or did not have the time to. They built yoke, plowshares, and wheels. Now think for a minute. This is a carpenter saying, "My yoke is easy." What he's saying, ultimately, the deep down truth is, my yoke fits. It's built right. And Jesus, as a carpenter, would know how to build a yoke that fits. Can you imagine trying to control two oxen, 1,000 pounds each, with a yoke that is chafing at them and annoying them a bit? Bill's going this way, Sam's going this way, and you are in trouble. Because the neighbor's field doesn't need to be plowed, and you're in the middle of it. You see, but Jesus, as a carpenter, knew that the yoke fit. Because he designed them, he built them, he carved them. Now, as I suggested, that visual aid, the fit of the yoke that Jesus would design for me is perfect. And the exciting part is he's on the other side, and we're pulling the load together. But as Pastor Christine prayed, there's some heavy burdens that people are experiencing in this church. Heavy burdens. Wow. And the list is pretty long. I can't imagine the sorrow and grief of a divorce, of a loved one passing, of a wayward son. Oh, that would break my heart. But you see, Jesus' yoke fits, and he's right beside you. Now let me share briefly a closing illustration from my life. And this is not an example that would compare to the mental anguish others have experienced and are maybe in the middle of right now. But I was the spiritual life coordinator at Briarcrest in my final year as a senior student. And what that role was, kind of the shall I say, student representative of the shepherding kind of role. And I said when I was approached to take on that role that I wanted to be used of the Lord to make an impact on the college. That sounded like a great yoke to put on. Had I known what field God would plow with Jesus alongside, I wouldn't want to go there. Because it was some 26 years ago, on the 17th of November, God saw fit to pass a bullet through my hand, through my chest, and out my back, in a hunting accident. Tomorrow is whitetail season starting. When I hear firearms going off, I get a little nervous. But in doing that, in taking that circumstance, it did just what I wanted. The student body rallied around me. If you can imagine, 10 days after that accident, I was giving testimony in the chapel. Miraculous. Now, 4 days later, my lung collapsed and I went to the chest tube variety. That was 7 times over. I don't recommend it to anyone. If you can avoid that, do so at all costs. But through that circumstance, God used me and honored that prayer and was there all the time. Now, in hearing Pastor Christine's prayer, there's some heavies. But as I sat in that hospital, lay on that bed, anticipating the possibility of losing half a lung, really wrecking my life of wanting to pursue outdoors and all that activity, there was only one place to turn: to the Lord. And sometimes when we look on those, our loved ones, with compassion and concern, and we should do so rightly, we miss the very deepest thing. God's there with them. He's doing it for a reason. He has that yoke and is right there. And we maybe want to take the yoke off even. But that's not the way to go. Leave it in God's hands. Pray and love and support, but don't think to rob them of that that drives them to their Lord. The only place that I could cling, and subsequently just miraculous and change and healing, and God did a work. So if I were to sum up what I've sought to share, Jesus' yoke will fit you because he's the master carpenter. Jesus pulls beside you. He's always there. Footprints in the sand, yoke right beside you. And Jesus will guide you if you let him. If you take that yoke and take a hard right, he'll follow along. But he would certainly pursue getting you back on course. And don't rob people of the burden that God is there helping them carry. Let's pray together. Fathers, we think of your love demonstrated to each of us daily. We acknowledge that it is such a joy and privilege to be your children, to know that we are loved beyond what we can truly understand, that you've come, that you've provided salvation through your Son. And I pray that each of us would realize that you are the master carver of the yoke you have for each of us. May we carry it and pull in the with that burden as you would do so we might all further the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If I could call the elders forward at this time. We are come together today in obedience of our Lord's command to partake in the Lord's Supper. Anyone who's accepted the Lord as their Savior can take part in this today. This is not our table, but the table of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Surely we'll say grace.
Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you humbly, Father, with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we just ask, as we accept this, Father, that you will strengthen us in trust and obedience. Father God, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name.